Blog Talk Radio.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant. 30,000 feet above could be Oklahoma. Just a bunch of square cornfields and wheat farms, man, it all looks the same. Miles and miles of back roads and highways connecting little towns with funny names. Who'd want to live down there in the middle of nowhere? They've never drove through Indiana. This man who plowed that earth, planted that seed, busted his ass for you and me. You're caught a harvest moon in Kansas. They'd understand why God made those flyover states. I bet that mile-long Santa Fe freight train engineer seen it all. Like that flatbed cowboy stacking U.S. steel on a three-day haul. Ropes and rails under their feet. Yeah, that sounds like a first-class seat on the plains of Oklahoma. With a windshield sunset in your eyes, like a watercolor painted sky. You think heaven's doors have opened. Now I got me those flyover states. Take a ride across the Badlands. Feel that freedom on your face. Breathe in all that open space and meet a girl.
Holiday special this evening. So, how's it going, Dennis? How you doing?
Well, other than the world seems to have turned upside down because Santa is coming, it's going good. Folks, just because the holidays are right around the corner, I understand everybody's stressed. But keep in mind what the reason is for the holiday. It's Christ's birthday. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This would be the same individual. Don't be a complete ass on the roadway. Don't cut people off. I know you got to get somewhere. You got to get everything on your Christmas list. Yeah, just keep in mind, I still want to get home to my family. I don't want to have to stop and talk to the popo. because you jumped in front of me and I was in your damn way. But other than that, brother, it's going good, man.
And also, word to wise.
I just had to vent.
Yeah, no, no, I know, and I want to elaborate on that. Also, a word to the wise. If you happen to find yourself with an almost 8,000-pound vehicle behind you and you're in a shitbox Nissan, you really don't want to slam on the brakes. Because it ain't going to end well for you if it doesn't work, or if a person's not paying attention.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Good thing you're paying attention.
I'm one of the ones that, you know, I don't text and drive, you know, unless I'm on a good stretch of highway and there's nobody else around me. You know, I always watch out for the next guy. Why? Because I've had to cut way too many of them out of the car to be one that caused somebody to have to get cut out of the car. That 8,000-pound vehicle would be my big-ass Dodge Ram quad cab Cummins diesel. And that little shitbox Nissan that you brake checked me in tonight, oh, you are so fortunate. I would have just drove over here and gone, son of a bitch, they need to fix the potholes around here. But I was paying attention, as I should be, behind the wheel. However, when you pulled to the curb, when I turned on my construction lights on the truck, I think that's funny as hell. And if I had approached your vehicle and asked you for license and registration, would you have given them to me? Dumbass. Don't break check somebody that's twice as big as you that will park on top of you and go, damn it, I hate speed bumps.
Yeah.
How has your week been, Matt? I understand you might have had a little bit of the white fluffy snuff all in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, we got a little bit. It actually hasn't been that bad. I was doing more of what you do in your line of work today, which is why the show promo got out so late. We had a we have a flat tar roof on the building, and some genius decided to route one of the drains. It looks like a bell on top with slits in it, just the grate. Then it goes down through the ceiling, into the shop, out of the wall, and then down to the ground. But
through the cow tub?
Yes. So these geniuses that use this apparatus, and Dennis, you'll like it. So the drain comes through, goes about 4 feet over to the wall, goes through the brick wall into a 90-degree, about 3.5, 4-inch PVC elbow that drains into a box that drains into the downspout. So the box is attached to the wall, and then the downspout runs along the wall. What happens when it's in the teens and warms up into the mid-30s and then drops back down into the teens in a situation like that?
I'm going to take a rough guess. The water freezes. There's potential for that. Then it swells,
yes,
because ice takes up a larger area than water. Potentially splits a pipe. Then pause again.
We had Niagara on the. We had Niagara coming from the ceiling today, so my techs and me were out there with, and the whole downspout was frozen in this really gorgeous looking ice formation. It was really pretty, but not functional.
You really don't want that in the showroom.
No, well, luckily it was in the shop in the back. It wasn't in the showroom. So yeah, I was out there with a straight claw hammer chiseling away at this beautiful formation that was causing all this problem. Well, my tech was up on a ladder for about 3 hours with a heat gun, heating up the box enough to get all that. So that's
you
what
got
we're
a
doing.
Level
with,
warmed up. You got a level warmed up heated box.
That's what we did.
Good man. Good man.
Yes. Yes, you always got to heat up the box first to get any flow going. Yeah. Wow, that turned south quick, didn't it?
And leave it to me to lead the train in that direction. Ladies and gentlemen, I can be reached at cprdennis@facebook.com. If the train is going to head south, I promise you, I am the engineer. I am probably the one that will cause the damn thing to derail. Which, hey, speaking of train and derail and all that, this is going to sound funny, but when I grew up, right now that we're coming into the holiday season, one of the things that I remember most was going to Grandma and Grandpa's for holidays. You know, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner. I had an aunt and uncle that had 5 children of their own. And that was one child. My grandparents had 5 children. My grandparents had 5 kids. Their kids had kids. You know, it just escalated. The one thing I remember most was this plaque that hung on the bathroom door that had like this little tiny wooden hammer that explained, knock once, see how I respond. Knock twice, hey man, hurry up. Knock 3 times, this is an emergency or whatever. And it showed the picture of a locomotive, and on the bottom of the plaque it said, mine is not to run this train. The whistle I can't blow. Mine is surely not to say how far this train will go. Mine is simply, what the hell is it? Mine is, oh, damn. Give me a moment. Mine is not to run this train, the whistle I can't blow. Mine is not to say how far this train will go. Mine is simply to move it along, something or another, and but let this damn thing run off the track and see who catches hell. I used to have that whole thing memorized because it was, to me it was so damn funny. Mine is not to run this train, the whistle I can't blow, and mine is surely not to ring this bell. But let the damn thing run off the track and see who catches hell. There we go. I knew I'd remember it. And that's from my childhood. Now, that's been, you know, 3 decades ago.
wait, what? You kind of cut out. What was that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember reading it probably 3 decades ago.
There's a demon or something coming through every time you try and say the time frame. I don't know.
Really?
Weird. Well, weird.
I mean, it sounded crystal clear on my end of the board. Maybe you need a new headset or something, brother. But,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to do 2 things. One, I want to thank you immensely for joining us tonight. You know, this is our pre-holiday show. Matt, are we airing next Wednesday, given that Thursday is Christmas?
That's what I was, that's why, well, there's 2 things on the pre-holiday show, or because of this pre-holiday show. We will not be on next Wednesday, so everybody can be with their families and, you know, do the holiday thing. But one thing I do want to promote is you need to catch us. Dennis, you're preoccupied that day, but I will be joining Kevin and everybody else from the network on Sunday, the 22nd, same time, same place, where we are doing our holiday show. And all of you who have listened to any of our holiday show or any of our shows where all of us get together, you know, it's just crazy and insane.
It's mayhem.
So,
it's mayhem.
Yes.
We've done the anniversary shows with everybody. We've done every other program's anniversary show. We've always gone on. Unfortunately, I will not be able to join on the 22nd for the URN Radio Network's holiday show. Folks, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be stellar. These people are off the hook. I think most of them are probably out of the straitjacket only by means of, like, either magic or somebody turned their back.
Yeah, pretty much all of us subconsciously have the last name of Houdini. So we've all gotten out of it. Yeah, we've all gotten out of it. They can't fire.
Yeah, well, they can find us, but the trouble is they're kind of scared to find us.
Do you blame them?
Well, I mean, it all boils down to courage. If you're courageous enough, you can do anything you want to do.
Hey,
question is, do you want to find us?
Yeah, hey, let's do this. Well, we'll have to put a little bit of our flavor on the name of it and see if Kevin's good with it. Let's see if we can convince him to call it either, I don't know if he's going to go Christmas or what, because that's so taboo to say now. Holiday.
No,
no,
it's Christmas. It is Christmas. The whole reason for it is Christ, and that's why it is Christmas. And
yeah,
I can be taboo, because y'all are welcome to find me, CPR Dennis at Facebook, but the whole reason for December 25th is Christmas and Christ. If you don't like it, send me a message. Let me know. I'll tell you what. If it pisses you off that much that I say Christmas instead of Happy Holidays and all of that, hit us up. 323-58. I'll say it slow because you'll probably need this. 323-580-5703. I'm looking at the board right now, and I want to tell each and every one of you, because I won't get the chance to between now and Christmas, Merry Christmas. If you have an issue with that, by all means, hit us up, and I'll give you the number again, because I know you probably got through the first three numbers and stumbled. 323-580. No, erase that one. No, that wasn't the right number. That was a pound sign. 323-580-5703. There we go. Now, see, I am the most politically incorrect SOB that you will ever find. I still say Merry Christmas. I still say Happy New Year. I still say God bless you when you sneeze. If you have an issue with that, well, you have an issue. I can't fix your issues. But I'll gladly talk to you about
it. Within the holiday season, because, yes, Christmas is on the 25th, but there is also...
Son of a bitch, that hurt. Sorry.
What'd you do over there?
Well, I had my earbuds in. I rolled my office chair back a little bit and yanked my phone right off the desk, and... Guess what the earbuds are attached to? My ears and the phone. But, yeah.
Yeah.
That one sounded
so, no,
like
I mean,
a boot getting sucked out of the mud.
Well,
hurt like hell.
I do want to say, and because there's all denominations, race, creed, all that kind of stuff that our fans listen to our show and that are our friends and everything, doesn't matter what you are or what you celebrate. I mean, Hanukkah's going on right now, Kwanzaa. I mean, there's a lot of different things going on, and that's why I say Merry Christmas. I say God bless you if somebody sneezes also. And, yeah, I mean, I'll still recognize the other race, religion, creeds of what they have going on and be supportive. And I just, as me saying Happy Holidays isn't because of people who get offended by the Merry Christmas thing. It's there's so many other holidays that different religions celebrate that I have absolutely no problem supporting, because if I run into you on the street, I don't know if you're a Christian or a Catholic or whatever. Cool. I'm going to say Merry Christmas. You get offended and tell me to fuck off. That's your choice. But
this is Wednesday.
I know.
The F-bomb is reserved for Monday. But, yeah, I definitely want to back you on that one. You know, I understand, you know, Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and everything else. I'm not saying that don't respect you for those beliefs. I'm totally fine with them as well. But for me, it's Merry Christmas.
Yeah. As it is for me as well.
Yeah, I mean, everybody else is welcome to their beliefs. I got no issue with it. I mean, why would I? Here's the basis of the whole thing. We all still look to higher power. I don't care what you call your higher power. You know, calling Buddha, whatever. But that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, and I absolutely love listening to and trying to understand and learning about other religions and their beliefs. So I'm definitely cool with it. If you want to call in and tell us about, you know, truly, because I don't understand what, you know, Kwanzaa and it's actually, I think, Hanukkah? Or is it actually Hanukkah, the way they put it on the little stupid retail crap? If you understand those, by all means, I'd love to hear about it, because I don't know a whole lot about them, but I'd love to.
Dude, when you said stupid, I was like, oh, this could go south. I don't know what he's going to say.
But no, I when you said all of them.
I was looking at a Facebook message, and you were talking about Hanukkah or Hanukkah, and you said the stupid. I'm like, whoa. Not paying all. I was listening, but half listening, and yeah, that was. A sinking moment for me. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
Oh, God, Dennis is doing it again. Oh, wait. Oh, crap, Dennis is doing it again. Yeah. But no, I wasn't doing that.
No,
but,
you know what?
Hey, Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, after you.
No, you.
No, mine was going to switch back to what we were messaging about, but
The deep thought. Do you want to get deep?
I have two things that I want to mention prior to your deep talk, which, yeah, we'll definitely get into, because it is an absolutely awesome story. The one thing that I do want to say is our friends, the Booth Brothers. I just want to send out hope and prayer and positive thoughts and energy right now to Philip. His wife is, and if you can imagine this, she's been dealing with it for a little while, but it's really kind of raised its head now. And she's basically allergic to everything, and the doctors can't pinpoint what it is. So I just, for our dear friends, the Booth Brothers, I just want to let you guys know, love you, and hope you have a holiday or happy holiday season. I hope that there is some breakthrough in what's going on with Philip's wife right now. That's a really, really big thing, and I talked to Philip about it a little bit, but he was in the middle of stuff. They were working on a movie and all that. But, yeah, so thoughts and prayers go out to them, definitely for sure. And also, go ahead, Dennis.
Also, thoughts and prayers go out to Jesslyn from Hornady the Collector. Her dad is in the hospital tonight he's waiting for heart surgery. So give them thoughts and prayers and good energy as well.
Yeah, and there's one more person also, which is Jeff Belanger, who is an amazing, amazing person. I had the pleasure of hanging out with him at Chicago Ghost Conference. His brother-in-law, Chris, has stage 4 cancer in his liver and his lungs. So that's definitely something that, you know, when you think about it as a whole, and the spirit of giving, it doesn't take long just to say, hey, you know, send out a little prayer saying, I hope that this family, whichever one, if you know them or you don't, just if you hear about it and people bring it up, it doesn't take long just to say a few words in your head and send out any sort of positive energy that can help out families which are going through maybe a lot more than you, maybe not as much as you. But you can identify with them, you can understand it, and wish everybody the best.
This, given the season that it is, I don't care. You can call it whatever season, holiday season, Christmas season, the forthcoming New Year's.
I call it cold.
Well, yeah, that's accurate. I froze my noogies off today. But I want you to all think about courage. And on that thought, I have a passage that I'm going to read from a book. It's called 2 + 4 = 1. The writer and editor is Kathy Nimmer. The passage that I want to read is 6 paragraphs. It's written by a young man that I actually know. I know him personally. He suffers from Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And I know this time of year we usually get the marathon and everything else goes on. But it opens up with a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. Knowledgeable of this young man, I get sentimental about it, but I want you to hear the words. You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You must do the thing which you think you cannot do. That's Eleanor Roosevelt's quote. Now I will read you what to read what Michael wrote. I won't say his last name, but this is a 15-year-old young man that I got to know personally. When you want to think about the holiday season and you think your life sucks, and, oh, God, I can't buy them the Xbox they want, and I can't do this and I can't do that. I'll get through probably a paragraph, and then I'll go silent while I'm trying to get my shit together. All right. When most people think about courage, they think of someone risking their life by running into a burning building to save someone else, or the pilot landing a plane in a Hudson River without one person getting hurt. People also think soldiers fighting in Iraq for our freedom are courageous. All of these people, all of these things do show courage, and they get publicity for it. But there is another type of courage that doesn't get a lot of attention. You could call it a quiet courage. I've learned my greatest lessons in this quest, in this quiet courage, not from a human, from my service dogs, Conan. Shit. Conan left us about 2 years ago, by the way. All right. Lesson of courage number one. Have unconditional love for family and friends, even when they've made bad choices. When I yell at my mom and hurt her feelings, and I'm afraid she might be mad at me, Conan still loves me wholeheartedly. He doesn't judge me for my bad choice. I've learned that love fixes everything. Dude, I'm not sure if I can do this.
Trust me, it's totally understandable, man.
Lesson of courage number two. Show integrity no matter what. When I'm out in public with Conan, he's working for me. So he wears a patch on his vest that says, "Please don't pet me. I'm work." But evidently the dog is like a magnet for petters. Even though I asked him not to pet him, and his patch emphasizes this, people ignore me and still do. I give my mom the evil eye and nearly lose my temper. Then I look at my dog, and he's sitting politely, wagging his tail, taking it all in his stride. Oh, shit. Lesson of courage number three. Trust the path that God sets for you. Before I got Conan, he lived with a puppy raiser for a year and a half and spent 6 months in advanced training. His puppy raisers and trainers were like family to him. When he was paired with me, he had no fear of leaving his family behind. He knew his purpose was to help me. Even thinking about leaving my family is frightening. But Conan has showed me that you should have faith in God's plan for you, even if it's unclear or hard. At this time of year, when everybody has so many issues, think about what's hard or what's unclear. Trust that there is a goal. There is a proper outcome that you were playing for. Now that I got my shit together a little bit, let me move on. Lesson of courage number four. Oh, this is hard, brother, because I know this young man personally, and he's amazing. He's confined to a wheelchair, yet every time I see him, he's smiling like he just won the lottery. He just has that upbeat temp of a personality, and you can't help to smile at him. You just know that there's something good about this person. Lesson of courage number four. Don't judge others for being different. Conan will do anything I ask him to because he is happy to serve and doesn't judge differences. Like me being in a wheelchair, how could a silly dog that is happy chasing his tail in circles judge others? I've learned, no matter what differences people have, you can't judge them. Lesson of courage number five. Don't give in to peer pressure. Most dogs automatically eat any food they find on the floor, but Conan can only eat on command from my hand or his bowl. When I'm training him, I throw his kibble all over the kitchen floor and let our family dog in to eat it. Conan sits by my side and leans into my chair, never budging from the doggy peer pressure. I know how much he loves this food and really wants to eat it, but he never does. I've learned that even though it would be easier to do what everybody else is doing, I should lean on to the right thing like Conan leans onto my chair. Lesson of courage number six. Other people before yourself. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. The first sentence was put other people before yourself. Whenever I ask Conan for help, he's happy to serve. He doesn't act tired or frustrated. He's happy to stop doing what he's doing to put me before him. I've learned that not only should I put others before me, but that I should also be happy to do so. Lesson of courage number seven. Always forgive. When I get frustrated and vent on Conan, and it would be easier for him to not bother with me, he still doesn't leave my side. I've learned that friends and family may say things that they don't mean out of frustration, but I need to forgive and love them because no one is perfect. Lesson of courage number eight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, this is written by a friend of mine named Michael. I won't give his last name because I haven't gotten authorization to do so. But he's 15 years old. He's confined to a wheelchair with Duchenne's muscular dystrophy.
Well, Dennis, real quick, just to give you a little bit of a break. I know you can't say his name, but what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is 2+4=1, Celebrating the Partnership of People with Disabilities and Their Assistant Dogs. It's written and edited by Kathy Nimmer. Now, I'm sure she won't mind me saying it, even though I don't have her permission to say so, but having Michael in this book, to me, brought it home. Nice deep breath, and we move on. Lesson of courage number eight. Now, by the way, this is out of the chapter called The Quiet Courage of Conan, and it's written by Michael. So lesson of courage number 8, always remain loyal to the most important people in your life. When family and friends visit, they give Conan a lot of attention by playing with and petting him. Although it would be easier for him to be distracted by all the attention, he is always most loyal to me. I'm the person he comes back to. I've learned that people may come and go, but your family and good friends don't. So stay most loyal to them. Lesson of courage number 9. When the going gets tough, never quit. When Conan pushes heavy doors open for me with his precious pink nose, it would be easy for him to stop before the door is all the way open. With my encouragement, he never quits. I've learned that even when the world seems against you, you should still keep pushing through. When I first realized that my muscular dystrophy was getting worse, I didn't feel like doing anything. I wanted to quit school and youth group and stay in my house, but Conan pushed me to never give up. Every day I feel more confident and act with more courage because Conan is by my side. I'm not afraid to do things I physically cannot do because of muscular dystrophy, because Conan can do it. Conan will probably never be famous or make the headlines of national newspapers for being my service dog, but in my eyes, he's the most courageous dog I've ever known. Even if he did get a lot of publicity, he wouldn't notice. In his quiet courage, all he cares about is a pat on his head or a good job, buddy, from me. So, those are points of courage that a 15-year-old boy learned from a dog while he suffers through and deals with muscular dystrophy. You learn that all the attention in the world doesn't mean anything except those that will look out for you. You've learned that there's nothing he can't conquer. Up to and including muscular dystrophy. And every year when you listen to the Jerry Lewis telethon and they're doing the muscular dystrophy telethon and they're on your TV and you're going, oh, God, not again. There's a 15-year-old man that, and I will say man, because at this point, there's a 15-year-old young man that has inspired me. That was a direct read from 2+4=1. It was written and edited by Kathy Nimmer. One of the things that he brought up in his little section was always look out for somebody else. Don't give in to peer pressure. Don't judge others for being different. Lesson of courage number 6, put other people before yourself. I think it's awesome. And a young man that submitted that portion for that book, I think it's just awesome as it can be. At this time of year, folks, just think about what others are going through. You don't know what their life is about. Now, I realize this is supposed to be the pre-holiday party, but...
Well, to be honest, this is what truthfully the holidays are about, and I think that a lot, I'm going to say most people have honestly forgotten.
Well, most people forgot everybody else. It's me and mine, and the hell with the guy next door. Now, one thing that saddens me a great deal, when I grew up, which was, I'll put it in generic terms, 4 decades ago, I knew all of my neighbors. I knew Thor was Mr. Jones, who was getting too old to mow his lawn, but he wanted it mowed this particular way, which was a huge pain in the ass. But I mowed his yard. I knew down the street I can't start naming names, but there was the family whose last name started with B. They had 5 kids, and they could barely feed them all. They spent a great deal of time, the kids did, at my house. My parents were fortunate in the fact that they both had decent jobs. And I mean, we weren't poverty-stricken, but we weren't a hell of a lot above that. But nobody ever left our house hungry. And I think a lot of people forget about that today. What about Mr. and Mrs. Jones down the street? What about, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith the other way down the street? It wouldn't hurt to go ring their bell and go, hey, I made this huge pot of soup and I just want to offer you some. That, my friends, is truly the reason for the season. It's not whether or not you can buy the newest, latest, and greatest Xbox One or PlayStation 4 or something like that. It's whether or not the Jones family down the street has shoes for their kids. It's whether or not the Smith family on the other end of the street can feed their kids.
Oh, and that's, you know, I wholeheartedly just, like, I can't say enough about the people, especially this time of year, who selflessly donate their time and go down and work at a shelter or, you know, they do, which it wasn't that long ago, and it's actually a really nice day for it, a Toys for Tots run, or, you know, donate to any of the charities that are out there. I mean, that's a complete selfless act. And even though you don't know specifically a person that it's going to, if you are more fortunate than somebody else, you don't understand how, and this is what drives me crazy, is you don't know how much just a little bit changes somebody's life in a huge way. And it's one of those things. I mean, the fact that, you know, before he, a 15-year-old kid has more compassion for human and animal life than what it seems like most of our day-to-day people though actually truly do have.
One simple thing. Tomorrow, when you think I need in the left lane or I need in the right lane, I'm having a shitty day. I need in that right lane. Why am I in this lane? I'll just cut this dude off. think maybe they're having a worse day than you are. Maybe they don't have anything to give their family. They're just going to work. You're just going to go buy shit for your family. We've become such a materialistic society that you don't need all the shit. Look around the room that you're in right now. If you're in your car, look around in your car. Look at all the bullshit that you have around you right now that you don't need, that you can live without. And think about the guy that you just cut off that had to jam on the brakes to spend his last dollar to buy that cup of coffee on the way to work that he just spilled on the floorboard to jam the brakes to avoid hitting your car. Just think about the next guy. Don't think about you all the time. We'll all be so damn much happier if you think about them. And it, when I grew up, my parents worked in a domestic violence shelter. I got to meet women that were beaten, abused. The worst one I ever saw, this woman came in, I thought she'd been in a major car crash. No, she had just literally had her face pummeled. Think about what that woman is going through now to make sure that her kids have a decent Christmas to get away from the monster. And I'm not saying it's always the guy. Trust me. We also had guys calling in going, I just got my ass kicked by my wife and I need somewhere to get the hell away. But think about what goes around in the world. You have to think about the guy next door. You have to think about the guy down the street. You just have to think about others. That's what the season is about. It's the holidays. It's Christmas. It's New Year's. It's Hanukkah. It's Kwanzaa. It's whatever you want to call it. Whatever it is in your religion, I guarantee you, none of your religions, I don't give a rat's ass what religion you be part of, I guarantee you none of them say it's all about me. I guarantee all of them say that you have to look at your fellow man and do your best to help them.
I understand with what's happened with humanity over the years of being more cautious. I get it. I do understand that it's not, you know, I mean, hell, there's certain parts around me where you're not going out walking around, you know, on the street at night, just going out for a nice walk in the summertime and all that. I mean, those places do exist. But the one thing that I've done, and Dennis ties in to Michael's thing, is if nobody has done this, go spend an afternoon hanging out I'll even go a little more extreme just because there's a lot more of them out there, which is sad in itself. Go spend an afternoon and donate some time at a children's cancer ward. It literally will change your life. And
I can go a step even easier than that. Because, you know, we've gotten to be such a complacent society now that we want the easiest way to make ourselves feel good. Give $5 to a homeless person and watch how you light their day up. Now, I'm not saying that all homeless persons are homeless. There are shysters in any field. But if you go, you know, just give a dollar to them. Watch them light up. But as far as the children's cancer ward, just go in and give them a little bag of Jolly Ranchers, like fruit chews or something like that, and watch how damn happy they become. But do something for your fellow man.
An eye on the board. I got a few text messages out. So
I'm staring at it now. But
yeah,
I mean, it never amazes me. Like, you know, the songs are like faith and love, goodwill to man, and then you end up with jackasses that could give a rat's ass less, and they're all about themselves. You know what? Listen to a Christmas carol, dude. It's not all about you. And you know what? I say we start a movement, Matt. The full Christmas attitude year-round. Goodwill toward man, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
and we do it year-round.
Well, I know that we...
piss off?
Probably a lot. Why are you telling everybody to be nice to people? What's wrong with you?
Dude, I don't have to be nice to people. People suck. No, they don't. When your life's thrown hell in a handbasket, I promise you it's people that come to your rescue. So, oh, wait.
Well,
no, all day long I've been saying I hate people. Shit. Ah, no. I hate people that haven't been listening to our show and haven't heard this message. That's it. See, if you listen to Full Spectrum Radio, you'll become kinder in the heart. You'll be kinder of soul. You'll just be a nicer person all around. You have to listen to Full Spectrum Radio.
Hold on 1 second, Dennis.
Oh, you're going to go gag now.
What? No. I was responding to a text message. I text our dear friend Bishop Christina Reiki. She's been having a lot of muscular problems. So I shot her a text real quick and just to see if she had time, and she said she's kind of stoned to the bejesus right now. So she's trying to fall asleep. So unfortunately, she will not be able to join us this evening. But
yeah, I see where she just got her flu shot. And, yeah. Yep.
We might. I just got a text from Chelsea. She might be joining us. But she's trying to find a quiet place at the moment because she said it's extremely loud wherever she is right now.
I found my quiet place. And For those of you that are listening, I don't mean my quiet place sitting back in the back bedroom drinking Bud Light. I found my quiet place. It was in my truck driving down the road, and I saw a light shoot from the left, like as you're looking at the windshield, from the left upper, it shot across to the right lower. Now, either it was a plane crashing or this was a meteor coming in. If it was the first one, I am so sorry. But I don't think that was it. But it made me realize just how damn small I am in this world, because my first thought was it was a meteorite coming in. We live in our own little worlds. Here's a rock that came from somebody else's world into ours. They're not all that high and mighty, folks. And if that meteorite happened to crash in your neighborhood, in your neighbor's house, in your house, you will realize that we're not all that high and mighty, because a rock from light years away just landed in your living room.
Or it could be from that jackass kid down the block.
Well, if the jackass kid down the block can throw a meteorite, that's a pretty powerful arm. I want him on my baseball team without a doubt.
Yeah, I know, right? What's with the silence?
Oh, sorry. I had to fart. I didn't want to disrespect our guests. Oh, wait.
It's me.
I don't have any. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in and you want to be our guest and not be disrespected, 323-580-5703. This is the full spectrum, pre-holiday, and you definitely want to be part of this.
Part of the reason why I wanted to do the pre-holiday show with knowing how just absolutely crazy Sunday is going to be is this is exactly what I think a lot of people forget. Is no matter how bad, and even if you're younger and listening to the show and you don't get that toy, there's, you know, kids and young adults that are your age that don't get a long time at life. You know, I know when you were talking about how the, you know, you grew up and everything and how you're raised and stuff like that. It's, you know, I mean, we're totally right next to each other in age, but we're not all that far apart. What, a decade about?
What, you and I?
A little bit less? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're probably, I don't know, 12, 15 years older than me.
Exactly. That doesn't exactly help with my point. That doesn't exactly help with my point. But I'll give that one to you. But no, I'm you know, younger than Dennis's. We're not going to get into actual numbers. But my parents also raised me in the same way and the same mentality to where And I have to say, and I, sorry for any of them who are listening right now. A lot of my friends who are raising their, or the way that their kids are being raised, the whole person mentality is definitely disintegrating. I mean, throughout the generations, to where there's just not a lot of giving, caring people that will stop. I mean, woman, and Dennis, I'm going to ask you this because I know you do every time as well as I do, but maybe not in this situation. But in general, when was the last time you stopped because you saw somebody on the side of the road that had a flat tire and it was called an elderly person? And you actually stopped to help them out. You know, I've actually been late to work 5 times in the past 2 years because I did that exact thing. And I'm not saying I'm holier than thou. I'm not saying, oh, well, you know, you should respect me because of it. It's just, that's who I am. That's how I was raised. And I love my parents for raising me that way and to helping other people. And when I have them, I'm going to do my best to pass that along to my kids, too. I mean, it's, you know, and honestly, it may be a Southern thing because I grew up in Houston. So, I mean, that could definitely be a possibility. It's just a different mentality than it is in, not that I grew up in the streets of Chicago or anything, but, I mean, I grew up in the suburbs, and it's one of the wealthiest suburbs in the state, not saying, but my parents aren't rich, but they always did the best to provide for my brother and I and bring happiness and joy and all that. I mean, it's,
well, one of the best stories.
But we appreciate it. That's the difference.
That was the difference. We weren't entitled. But one of the best stories that I can think of, probably 12, 14, somewhere around there, my dad had painstakingly built this coffee table train station thing and ran the little tiny N-scale train, and it was a coffee table. And he painstakingly for, I don't know, a year and a half built this damn thing. Got to play with it for a couple of months. It had tunnels, it had overpasses, it had the little town that the train ran through. And Dad sold it 1 year just to give my brother and I Christmas. That will always sit in the back of my mind as one of those things that that's what we did. We sacrificed of ourselves for our children, which I understand we do that now, but there's also a thing that went along with it. When I misbehaved, I was corrected. There was no, did you want to make that a large iced tea? Yeah. Did you want to make that a large iced tea? Yes, please. We learn the values of please and thank you. Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, no, ma'am. We learn those values. Today, well, I'll give you a perfect example. I was standing in Wendy's today, buying my lunch. I want two of the, what is it, like junior bacon double cheese, you know, $2 burger or whatever off the value menu. Two boys came in behind me. I'm standing there kind of debating what I want. These two boys behind me are probably 15 to 17, if I had to guess an age. One of them is twirling car keys around on a little short lanyard. And they're like, come on, are you going to pick shit or what? Really? That's how, really? Well, I turned and looked at him and went, you know what? I am going to pick shit. I'm going to pick shit off the menu, and I'm going to take my time deciding what I want. And then I'm going to pick shit about how your parents have raised you, because they've raised you horribly. This is how you speak to people. This is how you converse with others that aren't in your little clique. Trust me, I can be in your little clique in a heartbeat, because I will be the one that kicked your ass for showing absolute disrespect and probably put you in intensive care. So my advice to you is, shut the hell up. I will choose what I want when I'm ready. But as a juvenile, I would have never thought of speaking to an elder the way that these two did to me. Now, I would have, you know, stood back, plenty of room, hands behind my back, bid my time, I'll get my order in when it's ready, you know, when they can handle my order. But it just infuriated me that this young man decided to go, are you going to order today? No. No, I think I'm going to stand here and wait.
Well, in the same respect, Wendy's can kiss my ass for how many different menu options that they have now. It is confusing.
Well, and they don't... Well, now, even worse is Arby's. Now, do you have Arby's in your neck of the woods?
Yes, we have Arby's. We don't have Hardee's.
Okay, well, Arby's. Go into an Arby's and try to look up at the big board. They don't have a big board here. They have this little handout thing that you get to see when you actually approach the counter. I stood there looking like a retard going, Mondo want food. Mongo no find cheap food. Mongo can't afford big food. Meanwhile, all I hear out of my stomach is, feed me now. I'm going, hang on, man. I'm looking at the menu. No, I'm trying to find the cheap stuff that we can afford.
No.
Like, okay. Finally, I looked at and it turned out I had the general manager looking me face to face going, hi, Dennis, how can I help you? And the reason that he knew me by name was I'm wearing my uniform shirts. And I went, you can guide me through this little, you know, threefold pamphlet. I'm going to say it. It's a Wednesday night. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have children under 18, please plug their ears right now. But this was my answer to the manager. So at 3, 2, 1. Yes, John, you can guide me through this clusterfuck of a menu that you have and show me where the cheap stuff is. By the way, John looked at me rather confused, puzzled, bewildered, and I'm not really sure, but I think he was a little flustered. In the very bottom left on the third flap there, you'll see our value menu. Oh, that's why I couldn't find it, because you all hid the son of a bitch. Needless to say, I looked back at John and went, well, I would now like three of these hot ham and cheese off the value menu. I would like a large curly fry, and I would like a large sweet tea, and that's all for here. Is that all, sir? Is that all you would like? Is that all? Dude, do you realize I just ordered three sandwiches, a large fry, and a large drink? Yeah, I think that's all. I'm not that big a dude. And then I reached into my pocket and I pulled out the cash. That I think it was like $9-something. He's like, well, sir, if you'd like, you can have a seat. And please take the pager with you, and we'll page you when your food is ready. It's ham and cheese and fries. Yes, sir, but we make everything according to order. So y'all aren't used to construction guys coming in going, I'm in a hurry, I need this, 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 and this, and I got to go, right? Well, no, sir. But, well, that kind of explains why I can't find the dollar menu, because you don't want us cheap some bitches in your place.
Well, jackass, that's what the drive-thru is for. I was thinking about
No. You don't even want to get me on the drive-thru, because that one goes to Hardee's. 25 minutes, dude. No bullshit. 5 sandwiches, and that was it. 25 minutes. I was mad as a hornet. Hardee's, you suck. This isn't to be jolly. Unless you're going to Hardee's and then you just get pissed off because it takes so long for everything. Yes.
See, I don't know why. I understand in the mornings if I'm on the way to work, then yes, I do this semi-frequently. Is I'll stop at McDonald's and go through their drive-thru for their dollar menu for their breakfast sandwiches. And I'll get the sauce and cheese biscuit or whatever.
How can I help you? What would you like today?
Yeah,
and
if
what
I
do you order?
I'll order 10 to 12 sandwiches, depending who's working that day, and I'll buy for everybody and, like, you know, 6 to 8 hash browns. I have no problem. I have no problem pulling past the window to their designated, you ordered too much shit, just wait here section. And sitting there waiting. But it's 8:30 in the morning, which is rush hour time. You know, people normally be at work by 9:30, whatever. The last time I went through the McDonald's drive-thru and I ordered 10 sandwiches and 6 hash browns, it took, and I kid you not, it took 47 minutes.
Well, they got to skin all them chickens and peel all them taters and you couldn't see the back of the building where the wildlife and the garden was.
It's actually funny you should say that. There's a restaurant called Kai's down the street from us that does have a farm in the back. And that's where they get their meat and their veggies, mostly. They have some produce that, or a good amount of produce that comes in and a good amount of meat supply, but yeah, they have a farm in the back to where they raise their stuff. They got a slaughterhouse on it. It's phenomenal food.
But could I go back there and, like, befriend Bessie the beef cow and later find out that I'm enjoying Bessie the beef cow?
No, they don't do the larger animals. They do, like, chickens and turkeys and... There's two random peacocks that are walking around, which doesn't make any sense to me because nobody eats peacocks. I think those are
how
just decoration, like.
How did the chicken taste? Kind of like peacock.
But anyway, they're more of a green restaurant, if you are red, I guess, because blood. But yeah, no, they have their own farm raised, or their own farm where they do, corn, beans, just the random stuff that grows in Illinois soil, cabbage, shit like that. Which...
That's actually funny, man. I'm sorry, but that's funny as hell. Well, I don't know. We have, like, what the hell is it? Some Mexican restaurant around here has a planted area on the top of the building. I'm going, you know, I know nobody's going up there picking out jalapenos. What the hell are you growing shit on the top of the building for?
Is it
weed? I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the building or the name of the restaurant, but I'd love to, like, throw them on blast, too. But I've driven by a dozen times, and I don't pay attention to it.
Oh, also... One thing I wanted to comment on, I read this today and I thought it was funny. Funny, ha-ha, funny, like, aw, depressing. Not even cute. So, Chicago Sun-Times did a report on homeless in the city. And they interviewed a whole bunch of them and they got a census over a month's period of what the average homeless person makes in a day in certain areas of the city of Chicago. Granted, this time of year, you got to deal with horrible, horrible weather, but at the same time, you're homeless. You don't have any bills. The average income of a homeless person in Chicago is $41,000 to $47,000 a year. To me,
and here's you at your $12,475 a year salary.
Yeah, I mean, like, $4,000 a year and I have to drive to work.
Well, I mean, they have to get out of their cardboard. I mean, I'm sorry. I wasn't saying earlier that, you know, every homeless that holds up a sign and goes, "I'm homeless, please help me," was truly homeless. You know, you should definitely... if you see that same person there for months on end, find out about them. But on this time of year, why not throw a buck or two at somebody and try to help them out?
No, I'm not saying don't give the homeless money. I was just staggered by the dollar amount of, and like the ones that they interviewed have certain spots and certain areas that they run. It's like, well, also, think about it this way. They don't have any bills.
Well, I mean,
that's baller status for not having anything.
I mean, down here, deal with Zepco. Holy crap. My butt has not hurt so bad. My ass aches every month that I get my power bill. Oh, look. You had on a nightlight. You didn't burn anything else. You watched TV and had on a nightlight. We won a couple of $100. What the hell? I mean,
yeah, I'm not telling anybody. All right, let me make this clear. I'm not telling anybody to be homeless as a prospect of a possible financial direction.
As a possible windfall.
I'm also
not a monetary windfall.
Yes, I'm also not saying that you shouldn't help out somebody that's in need, because you don't know. What I am saying is the dollar amount was staggering to me of the ones that they followed for a month. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I mean, I was on the, kick earlier about, you have to help your fellow man. And, well, I mean, you still do. You still have to help your fellow man. I think it's just what makes us human. Like, I mean, monkeys don't help other monkeys. Like, if a monkey sees another monkey, like, busting its ass to get to a banana, it's not going to go pluck the banana and give it to him. But when I was growing up, I grew up in a town in Ohio. We had two universities there. One was a satellite from a university in Germany. It was a satellite college of a university in Germany from the town of Heidelberg. I won't say the name of the university in the town that I grew up in, but it was a satellite of Heidelberg, Germany University, and I'll leave it at that. There was a professor there that was writing a final thesis. I'm not real sure what the hell he was doing. But he would go in the summertime and live as a homeless person. Every summer when the university that was a satellite of Heidelberg was out of session, he would go live as a homeless person. Well, unfortunately, he finally did pass away. He hadn't finished his final thesis. But they did find $1.2 million in cash in his home, mostly in small denominations. But his thesis was on the, God, what the hell was it? The generosity of humanity towards other humans. I will say he did leave in his will that that, you know, chunk of change, the 1.2 million was given all the charities, but that's what he did for 10 years was go be homeless. His home sold for about $300,000. So, you know, he's in a $250,000+ home, has $1 million+ in cash in the home. But he was doing it as a thesis, as a study on humanity. I'm like, the hell? Know this, ladies and gentlemen. When you give that $5 out the window or that dollar out the window to the homeless person, see if you can find out something about them. They very well may be homeless. They very well may be absolutely nothing. And sadly, the numbers are rising. They very well may be our soldiers that have gone off to battle in war to defend our way of living. So find out.
Well, what, and you're absolutely right, what I was kind of leaning into about that whole conversation is, yeah, there are people out there who are truly in need. And the ones that you find that are truly in need, a conversation and just acknowledgement of another human being is may mean the world to somebody. You know, whether it's somebody playing the system and doing whatever, it's pretty much just common sense that can figure that out. But there have been times that I've had, you know, I've been driving downtown and of a person who appears homeless coming up to my car and saying, hey, you know, can you help me out? We'll work for food, whatever their sign says. And most of the time people actually just roll down the window just a crack and slip a bill out or slip change out or something like that and drop it into whatever apparatus they're using at the moment. But there's a lot of times to where I normally don't carry cash. I'll use my debit card or whatever. And I'll just have a quick conversation with them. Be like, hey, you know, how's your day going? Oh, no, it's, you know, God bless me today because of this or that or the other thing. It's been all right. It's a little bit cold. It's a little bit hot out here, whatever the time of the year may be. And, you know, do you have a family? Yeah, I have a family. And when I'm pulling away, if the light changes or whatever, that I've been thanked more times than anything of just, you know, thank you for talking to me. Thank you for just the simple conversation and acknowledging the fact that I'm here. Instead of locking your door when I walk past because wouldn't hurt you in any way.
Well, and that's what most people think. Just because they're standing there, don't think that they're a bad guy. I mean, 9 out of 10, and sadly, this is probably a pretty fucking accurate number. Most of them are veterans that have fought for our country and just fallen on bad times. Don't look at them all a bad face.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
But, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that, by the way, Matt, never mind that last message. I hope that at some point during the night, we've made a statement that you understand, that means something to you, and it makes you look at Mr. Jones up the street or Mr. Smith down the street a little bit different. Those around you need help. It's not bad to, you know, walk down in the middle of the night and drop a $20 bill on their porch or whatever. Now, don't do anything illegal to help them. But I think what is wanted most out of all of us in life in general is to help the next guy. That is as simple as not cutting them off on the road. Don't cut them off. Give me a blinker. Let me know you want over. I'll let you over. If you see my blinker, back off a little bit. You're going to make it 2 minutes later to wherever you're headed. It's not that critical.
Even 2 minutes is a tall order. The actual reality of travel time is going to be 2 seconds.
The season of love and giving. On to Christmas. Name them all. And the general basis of all of them is love one another.
Dennis, I definitely agree with you, and on top of everything else, if, you know, I know we were talking about when we had the Wolf Sanctuary on, about doing different charities every week, and, well, coming into the holiday season, it's hard because they're busy on top of everything. And we're going to pick that up come 2014. Also, the other thing is I think we should do something like maybe the first, you know, half hour of the show or whatever, if we give, you know, 10-15 minutes to a charity that wants to promote. I think we should also give 10 or 15 minutes to humanity and to promote it as far as something throughout the week that we did or something that was done to us and recognize it.
It's not a bad idea. Each week, somebody that has done something to help us, point them out, call them out. You were nice. You helped us out. You know, even if it's just, oh, hey, you only got 3 items in your basket, I got 37. Yeah, you go ahead of me. Even that's something simple might make somebody's day. It might make their week. So, yeah, I'm good with that. I'm definitely good with that.
Oh, also, there were no, and I, this is going to be a bad but good at the same time. There were no holiday songs that I could play on or upload or change from our normal audio that we have at the beginning of the show. The reason I chose, there's going to be a lot of people traveling this weekend, and I just hope everybody has a very, very safe travel. I hope you're able to get to your families. I know in the Midwest this weekend the weather's not supposed to be so great, so I definitely hope that it works out for everybody and everybody can be with their loved ones. The funny part about that is the song, and my stupid phone did an update. So when I went on Amazon MP3 and downloaded the song that I wanted to have for the intro, it doesn't give me the option to share anymore. So I couldn't email it to myself to upload it to the board or anything. Hollis by Run DMC was our intro, but that didn't happen. So anyway, Dennis, I know that I'll talk to you, and I'm going to cut it a little bit shorter than normal. Just have a ton to do tomorrow. I need to get to bed early.
Yeah, and I have the same issue, but I will play a song, you know, now that we're in the season, and there's so many people that are off at battle. Here by Me seems to be the song that I think should be played. So we'll play it out.
I was thinking the exact same thing for the intro, and I'm glad that you brought that up. But I have to say,
go ahead. You have to say.
Yes, I have to say it. Thank you to everybody in the season who took the time out to listen to the show. We definitely love you. I mean, if we offended anybody, I'm sorry. But that's that little thing that we call life. But, Dennis, I know I'll talk to you before this, before actual Christmas and all that stuff, but enjoy yourself on the 22nd. Again, we'll be on URN. Is our Christmas party. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be nuts. Don't know how much serious talk is going to happen, so if you just want to laugh your ass off, join us same place, same time on Sunday the 22nd. I will be doing it, or I'll be doing my part from a Christmas party with our dear friend and my dear friend, Ursula Bielski. Be at her house for a Christmas party. So join us 8 to 10 on Sunday. And Dennis, I love you, brother.
Yeah, I love me too. Oh, wait. No, I'm supposed to say I love you too, right? Okay.
Yeah,
we got
that would have been proper.
I love you too, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We're going to call it short, and we're going to play this out to you. And if you're overseas serving our country, if you're not able to be with a loved one, here's your song.
I hope you're doing fine out there with without me. 'Cause I'm not doing so good without you. Things I thought you'd never know about me were the things I guess you always understood. So how could I have been so blind for all these years? I guess I only see the truth through all this fear. Living without you and everything I had in this world and all that I'll ever be, it could all fall down around me. Just as long as I have you right here by me.
Just as long as I have you right here by me.